time is 1:30. I'd like to call to order the Greater Austin Telecommunications Network meeting of the Board of Directors, March 8, 2022. Agenda item number one is a roll call.
I'm Sarah Eichelberger with Gatton, and I will call the roll. We have Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Sid Falk, Bickerstaff Heath, Delgado Acosta.
Present.
Frank Ammons, Gatton.
Present.
Bo Kinsey, Travis County.
Present.
Anthony Breckenridge, City of Austin.
Present.
Carlos De Matos, Gatton.
Present.
Gary Weisman, Austin Community College.
Present.
Harold Nall, UT.
Present.
And Steve Piles, State of Texas DIR.
Present.
And members of the public or Gatton contractors we have attending are Wayne Wiedemeyer. And we have Chris Gonzalez with Bricom. And Doug Wilson present. With JC Communications.
Present.
We have established a quorum.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay, agenda item number two, citizen communications. Do we have anything today?
No, sir.
Nothing here.
No, sir.
Okay, agenda item number three is review and approve the minutes from the board meeting of February 8th in your packet.
Just a quick announcement, noting that Ruben Reyes with City of Austin joined the meeting at 1:32 p.m. Another quick announcement. I'm not actually sure if I am muted when I announce Ruben Reyes, but both Ruben Reyes with City of Austin and Jaime Guerra with UT joined the meeting at 1:32 p.m. One more quick announcement. Robert Sadler with LCRA joined the meeting at 1:34 p.m.
This is Dane. Motion to approve the minutes of February 8, 2022 as presented.
This is Gary. Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of February 8, 2022 as presented. Is there any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, management, can you please lead us through a vote?
Gary Weisman.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Ruben Reyes.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
And Robert Sadler.
Aye.
The minutes are approved.
All right, agenda item number 4 is the consent agenda. The board will entertain a motion.
This is Jaime. I'd like to move for approval of the consent agenda.
This is Gary. Second.
There is a motion and a second to approve items 4A and 4B on the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion on these? Management, can you lead us through a vote, please?
Gary Weissman.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Ruben Reyes.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
And Robert Sadler.
Aye.
The consent agenda is approved.
Right, cruising right along here. Agenda item number 5, board chairperson update. 5A, agreement between the City of Austin and Gatton for the maintenance of the Gatton backup knock.
Yeah, so this is Frank, and the Gatton knock maintenance subcommittee met on January 24th and then again on February 8th to review the maintenance bids and service levels. The subcommittee had asked the data center operations group with the City of Austin to request a BAFO from a vendor. And I met with the DCO team yesterday, and that's still in the works taking place. And we anticipate a recommendation coming from the subcommittee. I don't think the subcommittee will have to meet again because the BAFO should be in place. And we anticipate a recommendation from the subcommittee to come forward to the upcoming March Tech meeting and then moving forward for approval in the April board meeting. Are there any questions in regards? Here and none, I'm going to move on to 5B, which is discussion of recent emergency power incident at Gatton backup knock. So on March 2nd, there was a power disturbance where the Austin Convention Center itself actually lost power at approximately 3:36 in the evening. Everything worked as it should for the Gatton knock, including the UPS and generator. However, the generator, the power to the generator had to be manually shut off. And so I've been looking into this and met with a DCO group yesterday to go over the incident itself. We're going to have to go ahead and meet with the Austin Convention Center folks to further discuss the issue. It's not something on the build that is affecting us, but rather how the power is coming into the room because the generator should automatically switch off when the power is restored. And that didn't take place. So that you know what does actually take place is the City of Austin DCO group, data center operations group, gets an alert anytime that generator kicks on. And so that's what they received. However, they're supposed to receive an alert that tells them the generator has kicked off, that it's done its job. That's what we did not get. Therefore, somebody had to be on site to mainly shut the power off that feeds into the room itself. So we're looking at into this. The person that was involved with it on the 2nd was out the remainder of the week, and I was unable to speak with them until yesterday. So we're formulating a plan to discuss with the convention center before this week is out, and I'll follow back up with you in regards to this. There'll be more information to come in regards. Are there any questions?
Frank, this is Jaime. How is this not a warranty issue for spa glass? We're within the first year, and it sounds like that the generator did not operate as it was supposed to.
Yeah, so there is and I don't want to get too much into the specifics of this without being in an executive session, but there is a power feed that comes that we pick up from, right, that the Gatton, all of our stuff picks up from. And so it's not an issue with the build we made, where we pick up power, in the location where we pick up power, that was set up for Austin Energy chilling units some years ago. And without our knowledge, what they, the way they set that up, they set a switch inside that that allows for continual power to run to those cooling units up to 3 hours so they won't burn up. But that affects our generator feed. So it's before our room. It's actually downstairs in the convention center where we pick it up. But unbeknownst to us, there's a switch that's set in that distribution panel, electrical panel, that we're that we've tapped into without knowing where we tapped in. Right before that, there's a switch that's it's set for the Austin Energy chilling distribution, and we need to be separate from that.
That should have been picked up by the engineers. I would have, the electrical engineers, when they were doing the design.
Yeah. So we still have not Spalglass, but we still have IMEG on under contract. The city does, and that's who we're going to be speaking to about it. Now, whether or not they, you know it at that time and didn't think it would be an issue or didn't understand, that needs to be discovered. Whether or not they just didn't pick up on it at all, probably what it sounds like to me. And they may come back and say, well, that's, you know, we're providing this electric stream power. We didn't know something else in the convention center was called, would be able to cause this. So more work to do here. For right now, worst case scenario, if the Austin Convention Center itself loses power, we have somebody on 24/7 call to go shut the generator back off. And it's really outside of the generator. It's the switch itself that.
Yeah, the automatic transfer switch.
Yeah, that's right. It's automatic transfer switch. So everything for what we built has gotten worked as it should. And it's just an electrical issue inside the convention center outside of our build that is causing an issue that we have to get resolved so this doesn't take place again, because naturally we don't want our generator running any longer than it needs to. And you have to keep in mind, when we did all the tests for it, you know, it was from that, it wasn't from Austin Energy, I mean, from the convention center itself, the entire place losing power, because we couldn't do that. So when they did the testing for it, it was from, you know, that switch going forward, not going back to it. So yeah, we definitely have to get this worked out and corrected and figure out, you know, who's the responsible party, how this happened, and why it wasn't caught.
So Frank, well, this is executive session. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt somebody. You mentioned executive session. Do we need to go and look at some electrical prints, or do we need legal advice on this?
I don't think so at this time. What I'm hoping to do is bring this right back to the board meeting with a solution. It's so fresh, and I wasn't able to meet with the responsible, you know, the not responsible party, but the accountable party until yesterday. So, you know, during the course of yesterday, we weren't able to work up a solution with the convention center and IMEG. So my hope is to bring that to the board at the board level. And it may be just as easy as, from what I'm seeing in the diagrams I have reviewed, it may be as simple as just bypassing that switch altogether and just feeding straight power. Because I think if we hadn't connected to that same panel and it was just feeding, tapping into straight power without that switch being involved, and if that switch can go away, great. I don't know. I know Austin Energy chillers are planned for the future, but they're not there presently in that room being used.
Okay. Jaime, I suspect that this is something that we'd want to follow up on at the tech meeting. What are your thoughts there?
Most definitely.
Yeah. I may have said board earlier, but I meant tech. Definitely the tech.
Okay. Okay, good. Let's make sure we get an agenda item on that. Let's get that on the agenda. And also, I'd offer up Bo Kinsey, who's on the call. He's a whiz when it comes to electrical things, so feel free to bounce this off of him. Bo, thank you for volunteering that. I suspect you'll have some ideas as well.
Okay, yeah.
And then I believe the number 512578 had something to say. I apologize for interrupting you earlier.
That's actually you, Dane, the 578.
I think that might have been me, Dane. all I wanted to say was I think this is actually a really great opportunity because we are within 1 year of substantial completion. So we should be able to get assistance from the installers and the designers. And it happened at a time before Gatton has really fully populated the center. So
yep.
This is pretty good to find out now versus later. And when else are we going to have an opportunity for a full convention center power outage?
That's the fourth reported power outage at the Austin Convention Center in the history of the Austin Convention Center.
I agree, Jaime. Much better to catch it now.
Any other questions? Okay, here none. We're going to move to 5C, which is the insurance acquisition review and claims assertion.
This is Sarah. The purpose of this agenda item is to let the board know that management, together with Sid, are reviewing the damage claim policy and how it may need to be revised to have the board review every potential claim and make a direction as to how to proceed. The reason being is that the amount of claims that Gatton is submitting is making it more difficult to get renewed for these policies, which we must maintain for our operation. You know, although we are required to report these damages and lawsuits against Gatton, we are not actually required to file a claim for them. Currently, Gatton's damage claim policy states that we will submit a claim on Gatton's insurance if the damage exceeds $50,000, and which is the deductible. And, you know, also there's no identifiable third party that we can go after to recover damages. So management is meeting later this week with our property insurance agent to review our claims and discuss how we might proceed going forward to ensure that Gatton remains renewable. We're going to discuss how carriers look at these claims and whether it's the total amount of claims we're filing, or, you know, the total number or frequency of claims we're filing, or if it's the total amount of the loss, or if it's a combination of both. And after this meeting, management will meet with Sid again to work to revise our claim policy appropriately. Now, the other part of this, the insurance acquisition review, we're also working with Sid to review how Gatton actually acquires insurance. And Sid is looking at whether Gatton actually needs to issue an RFP for insurance coverage, or if we just issue an RFP for insurance brokerage, or if we can just choose our broker and then the agent shops the policies to multiple carriers. And that fulfills the competitive bidding requirement. So we're working with Sid and AISD to see what our options are there. And, you know, we'll report back to the board on the claim policy, probably in the next board meeting, and also, you know, procurement of insurance going forward. So this was more just a notice to the board. This is the issues that we're seeing with getting renewed for insurance. We were able to get renewed, you know, but we are having more claims, and we'll be discussing the claims later in the meeting, as well as this new claim for the damage at St. John's, the gunshot damage. So we need to figure out if that's going to hurt our ability to get renewed.
Well, with costs going up, and we had talked about possibly even increasing the network manager spending authority because the cost of cabling is going up, the cost of labor is going up. So it makes sense that the cost of claims will be going up as well. I'd like to make a request for a distribution of the claims for, I don't know, let's say the last 3 years, maybe, whatever makes sense, to kind of plot those and see where they are and the ones that we filed claims for and the ones that we haven't.
Yeah.
I guess I should say the damage is not the claim. And see where the main distribution of the cost for those is. And perhaps we need to increase the threshold to a higher dollar amount for which we're actually filing claims, and maybe that distribution or that plotting of the data will help us guide us towards a decision there.
Yeah, that was my thought exactly, that maybe there be a threshold that, you know, it's not just over $50,000. So right now, as our policy reads, if it's $51,000, we file a claim and we may get $1,000 back at the most. So it's looking at that and seeing. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, the $50,000 was arbitrary, right? It's a number that we grabbed. So if we can take a look at the data,
it's the deductible. Yeah. And so we actually have what you were asking for, Dane, on the SharePoint site. We have a list of the damages. I think it goes back 3 years. It may, I'll have to check, but you know, and what we did, if those were third-party claims, if they were insurance claims, and how it was resolved if we recovered the money. So I can just print that out and make the handout for the next board meeting, or if you think we should discuss it at the tech level.
That feels more like a board agenda item, unless you disagree, Jaime.
It does sound like a board item, but if in the interest of making rapid progress, we could review the data since most board members are on the tech meeting, if it makes sense. Our meetings go by much quicker these days. So.
And could you plot that, Sarah? Could you take the data and plot it out, and so that we can get a visual?
Yeah,
and that
exactly.
might point
sure.
us to a number, and that number could be 68K or it could be 84K or just,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that sounds good to me. Any questions on this one? And actually, Sarah, I guess that kind of jogs the question. Are there any other policies that have cost-related items in there that we may want to review because of the cost of cabling and labor going up? We talked about a couple of policies recently where we may want to increase the threshold, including the getting
the network managers. That's the only one besides the fund balance policy, which we reviewed at the beginning of last year, and the board, after we reevaluated the value of the plan, the board decided to transfer another $550,000, I think it was, into that emergency set aside. So that was the only other policy that has that kind of a threshold that you're talking about besides the network managers. So, yeah, and, you know, the board had brought up before, looking at these policies and looking at ones that are pretty old. The current damage claim policy is from 2012. So I think it's good to consult with the insurance agent to see, you know, to make sure we remain renewable and to adjust the policy accordingly.
And is the deductible going to stay at 50K, or is that also something that will be discussed?
It's staying at 50K. We still have the same coverages.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just want to make sure. I'm sorry.
Sorry,
I would say
Sarah.
We. a delay.
Teleconferencing is hard. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, we just want to make sure that the rates don't go up sky high. That kind of negates us getting these recoveries back. You know, and look at the purpose of this insurance is for more catastrophic loss and probably not these little, you know, $5,000 recoveries that not only could make the rate go up high, but also it has been taking up a lot of our network management time as well. But that's all I have about that. You know, we're meeting with the insurance agent. We'll meet with Sid again. We'll look at this policy, bring a recommendation back, and have the board review it and plot the damages for the past 3 years, like you said.
Is there any questions in regards to 5C? All right, we'll move along to 5D, which is a property damage claim. Let's see, 5DEF. Sarah, I know you sent this out earlier, but remind me, I know F is probably executive session. I don't think D and E are, though.
Sid, I think I do believe that we would want to go into executive session for 5D, the J.D. Abrams Lone Star Paving.
Agreed.
Okay.
So it's up to you, Dane, however you want to do it. We can do 5E now or just circle back.
Yeah, we can do 5D and 5F for executive session items.
So we can move on to 5E for now?
Yeah.
Okay. Property damage claim for damage to B1 in Stone Hollow Drive on October 18th, 2021.
Yeah, and this is a claim that was submitted to the Gatton Insurance, and the maximum recovery on this is going to be $5,000. There has been a lot of back and forth between management and the adjuster. They have, you know, ask a lot of questions. We answer them, then they ask 10 more questions. And so we have answered all of their questions. It's been about a week since we answered them, and still waiting to hear back from the adjuster on that one. So that was kind of along the line of what I was mentioning in the previous agenda item. But yeah, there's nothing new to report on that one.
Okay, thank you, Frank. Let's move on to item number 6.
Okay, let me get back to the handouts here. So for item number 6, there's just a few brief things I need to cover regarding the project status report. As far as Gatton active projects, no new Gatton developer funded projects have been added since the previous board meeting. Gatton active projects, I'm really excited. I found out this morning that A1 in segment 9, the last poll that we've been attempting to get application approved for, has been approved. Now we're going to be updating that where it says awaiting AE approval. We now have AE's approval, and we are working on submitting the Roman permits. Once they're submitted, it should take 30 days to get them approved, and the project will be underway. So that'll be another A1 in segment that is going to be active and taking place. Still working with Austin Energy and our vendors and everything that we've covered previously with the board and the tech committees. Nothing to report on completed projects as far as Gatton is concerned. On entity-specific active projects, we have the Balcones Wildlife Preserve and the new node at Colorado for UT. You see there on your handout, those have just wrapped up. And nothing else to report this time. Are there any questions?
Just a comment, UT's connection to C1 North. I'm hopeful by the next board meeting we'll have the Cap Metro license agreement for the board to review and authorize Dane to sign.
Us too.
Thanks for your help with that.
Absolutely. Here, no other questions. We'll move on to 6B, which is the job budget report.
Okay, we're tracking 38 jobs totaling $1.6 million. Of those, 38, 15 are complete. 23 are still pending. So far, we've been invoiced for $597,000, and we have $1 million encumbered. We've recovered $207,000. And all of the expenses for the convention center have been fully invoiced. We are waiting for the city to close out a couple of little contracts, such as the IMED contract, before we can get the convention center refund back, which I believe is about $339,000 some odd dollars. So we are hoping that we get that back before the end of the fiscal year. And that's all I have. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Okay, moving on to agenda item number 7, executive session. We're going to adjourn to discuss items 5D and 5F, and we are going to adjourn under Texas Government Codes 418.181, 551.089, and 551.071. The time is 1:59 p.m., and we'll see you over there on the other call. Okay, time is 2:26 p.m. Agenda item number 8. So I'll just say that we discussed items number 5D and 5F in executive session. There's no action to take currently. Moving on to agenda item number 8, which is an updated roll call. Management, can you lead us through that, please?
Yes, I'm Sarah Eichelberger with Gatton, and I'll call the roll. Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Sid Falk, Gatton Attorney.
Present.
Bo Kinsey, Travis County.
Present.
Frank Ammons, Gatton.
Present.
Anthony Breckenridge, City of Austin. Carlos DeMatos. Carlos DeMatos.
Carlos.
Gary Wiesman, Austin Community College.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
Harold Knoll, UT.
Present.
Ruben Reyes, City of Austin.
Present.
Robert Sadler, LCRA.
Present.
And Steve Pyle, DIR.
Present.
Everybody's accounted for.
All right. Did AISD share their financial report with you, Sarah?
Yes, it should be there in the handouts. Carlos, can you go to item 9 on the handouts? There we go. This is for the month ending January 31st. You can see that we've taken in $1.7 million to date, expended $1.2 million, leaving a remaining project reserve of $1.675 million and with the emergency set aside of $2.1 million, that is a total fund balance of $3.7 million. And you can review and let me or John know via email if you have any other questions.
Sarah, just a general question. How do you see the rising cost of doing anything anymore? Do you see that having a negative effect on the budget overall, or do you think that we're in a healthy place?
Well, I mean, we did increase our budget by $200,000 this year. You know, we will the biggest cost that I had seen going up was the locates that has tapered off quite a bit lately. You know, we were having $25,000 a month bills, and now it's tapered off to under $20,000 a month. So I think we're in a good place. Definitely for next year, we'll have to reassess at the for the FY24 budget. I'm hoping we can keep a flat $1.9 million for a while.
Do you know why the locates have tapered off?
Well, I think one of the big projects, the 183 project, was one of the ones that was creating a lot of locates. You know, I guess that some of these projects have been completed. You know, but there is the Oak Hill project that is coming up, and that is probably going to create a lot of locates. So, you know, I believe it's going to be an ebb and flow and go up and down with the locates. It's really hard to predict. You know, but when we do budget, we just go off of what we're seeing in the last year and try to average that out and add a cushion for that. So, yeah, I think we're in a good place for this next year for sure. And we have a healthy fund balance still. Any other questions?
Okay, we'll move on. If, like Sarah said, if you have any questions about the financial report that pop up later, feel free to contact John or Sarah. Item number 10, meeting and action item summary.
Yes, so we have a request for distribution of the damages / claims trend in the next tech or board meeting. Most likely, I think we'll be able to get this into the tech, but the network management team will meet and discuss. We'll take what we have available on the SharePoint site and plot out a trend and the funding related to that. That week prior to the tech meeting, I will be out of office, just so everybody knows. So next week, starting Monday, I'll be out of office for the week. And then also the other action item is, I just threw that in there, but just heads up, is review any other policies that we may anticipate rising in cost. We're hitting on it because we're discussing two different things here. You're seeing a cost of increase in materials and labor due to the current economy. And then you're seeing a cost across the board of everything being built in Austin, because everything is being built in Austin right now, it seems like. So we're kind of getting a double-edged sword thrown at us here, but I agree with Sarah. She's spot on her answer in regards to next year's budget and going forward.
Do you have any action items regarding the automatic transfer switch and the generator at the dock?
Yeah, so I took note to get with Bo regarding the power issue and other questions for the convention center that you may have. We'll be keeping an eye out for that. You know, as discussed previously in the meeting, we are going to be meeting with convention center staff this week and data center operations group with the city of Austin to determine how, you know, the power feeding into the NOC was devised in the first place and devised to go off such a switch. And then second of all, what's the solution for it? And thirdly, at whose cost?
Okay, so you'll have an update for us at the tech?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Scan the board quickly. Do we have any other action items or anything else that we didn't get written down? Okay, sounds like we're good to go. Item number 11, confirm date, time, and location for the next board meeting. It's going to be April 5th. At 1:30 p.m., both via Microsoft Teams and here at the LCRA Service Center. With that, thank you all very much, and we are adjourned at 2:33 p.m.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a good one.